And I tried to make this as clear as I could, but it might be as clear as mud. The link for Dr. Jim Brittell's live streaming remains, and then you have the link there. And it's found on our homepage on the CBC website. So if you go to our homepage now, you'll see live streaming, and that link links us to Dr. Jim's live streaming. But Dr. Jim has decided that he's going to have audio only from now on his live streaming. So I decided that we're going to continue to have video on our live streaming as well as audio. That's particularly important on the Star series because there's so many PowerPoints and things to look at. It's very visual. And if we had only the audio, you'd be missing out on quite a bit. So anyway, we have, Country Bible Church now has our own webcast from Christian Netcast. And so that means we have another link, a different link than from Dr. Jim's. And that link is given here. The reason that I went ahead and put these links on here is because if all else fails, what you can do is go to your web browser and look on this bulletin and type this link, all that mishmash in there. And if you get it right, then it'll come up. But right now, all we have still is just Dr. Jim's link on our live streaming on the website. But hopefully by the end of this week, they will have our link on there as well. So that all you'll have to do is go to our website and click on that link for Country Bible Church, and you'll have the live streaming, the audio and the video as well. Now, we're going to continue to have Dr. Jim's on our website as well as our own. For instance, this coming Monday, as in every Monday, Dr. Jim has been interviewing me for about a year on my upcoming book, Tolerating Tyranny. And so you would click on his link in order to get that because he's broadcasting it. You will see, well, I guess you'll see him now, but he will be in his communications area there and will be live streaming audio. If it's anything that has to do with Country Bible Church, you will click on the Country Bible Church link. So I'm going to be on the Dr. Jim Brittell show Monday, and Dr. Jim is going to Washington, D.C. this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so he has asked me to host his program for those 3 days. And so for those 3 days, you'll be clicking on his link, and you'll be hearing me Wednesday we're going to go over Calvinism. Thursday we'll be going over getting the gospel right. And Thursday we're going to be going over an article by Chuck Baldwin that has to do with patriotism. So those are the 3 days, and those are the 3 areas that I'll be covering. We'll also have all of our live streaming archived, as we always have. Every lesson that goes out from Country Bible Church is archived. And you can go on the home page. You don't even have to go to another page. On the home page, you can click on the Star series, and you can get the audio or the notes. And then you can also go to Colossians. That's on the right-hand side of the home page. And you can also get the audio and notes of Colossians series as well. But you have to wait a little while because it might be 3 or 4 days, maybe even a 5 days or more before it actually gets on the site. You won't believe where it all goes before it finally winds up on our site. I don't know what all the magicians back here, Brett's the magician for today, and they're doing their thing over there too. Have you ever looked at that equipment over there? It's kind of scary. But anyway, they do their thing, and they put it on a pen drive, and I take it home. Then Carrie has to transport it to her computer, and then she has to get an email, an attachment, and a Dropbox, and send it uplink to the people who take care of our website and update it. And then I don't know all the magic that they do on their end, but eventually it gets on our website, and you can access it. Now, that's a very unnerdy way of explaining it, I guess you could say. All right. So is everything clear? You can't miss it. Another way, I'll tell you this. I told some people today one other thing about this, and they rolled their eyes. But I'm going to tell you anyway, because you might be able to do it. Dr. Jim has a hyperlink that he's went out to his people, and Mary has put it on our email list. And I don't know if it's hyperlinked or not. If it's not, you know what I mean, hyperlinked, it's blue, and you just click on it, it brings it up. If it's not hyperlinked, you can take your cursor and run over it, left-click your cursor, go over it, and it will be highlighted, and then you can copy it by right-clicking and copy, or going up to edit and copy. Then you have it. Go to your website, go to your whatever your browser is, and click it in the box, and click paste, and it'll be there. Now, that sounds hard, but it's really not that hard if you've done it before. I kind of am sorry I even told you now. I didn't want to leave any stone left unturned. So now we'll prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We're going to rebound because some of you probably are in dire need of it. Garth is going back there, Gwen. As if any of that applied to him. Sometimes I envy Garth because he has no computer. And that's the way he likes it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are our God, that you are righteous and just, full of grace and mercy. We thank you for your phenomenal word. It is indeed alive and powerful. We thank you for the opportunity to go over it today, to not only look at your message in your word, but also in the stars. And we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, it is also, before we continue, our tradition to give high school graduates a Bible from Country Bible Church. And we have another graduate today. No, she's not here? Oh, okay, well, she missed out. Okay. Well, it's Ashley Dixon. We have two Ashleys. We don't have any Ashleys here today. Where is she? Oh, there she is. You're not over here. When people move when they're from their normal seating, I get discombobulated. It'd be like me preaching over here.
Is that like
Yeah, you just don't get hyperlinks. You get hyper discombobulated is what you get. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is to, before we get into our star series, y'all remember the star series, right? Okay, it's been a little while. I want to bring up something that I think will, that's very needful. This is a question for you. Kill the lights overhead, if you will, George. Should restrooms in Houston be like this? Do you have a woman and an arrow and a man this way? Or like this? I don't know if you can see this very well, but this says multi-stalled, all-gendered restrooms. So, I don't know which one you'd rather have, but I believe most of us would rather have this. But if we're going to have this, then you're not just going to have to sit and wish that it's going to happen. You're going to have to be active in allowing those in charge to hear your voice. This is from the Houston Area Pastors Council. This was sent to me by Dr. Robbie Dean. He's a member of the Houston Area Pastors Council, and I am as well. I've been to several of their meetings and conferences and had different speakers address us. Dave Welch is the head of Houston Area Pastors Council, and he's the one that wrote this, so I thought I would pass it along to you. The battle is not over, but has just begun. We need your leadership and involvement now more than ever, because while the motion to delay the final vote on Mayor Anise Parker's, quote, equal rights ordinance was a temporary victory. In other words, they were supposed to have already voted, but they had to delay it because I think people were melting the phone lines and emailing in and writing in and so forth. So they had to delay it, which is a temporary victory. The ordinance now is worse than before. As amended, any man, even if not dressed like a woman, can walk into their restroom, locker room, or shower, and if he claims to be transgendered, nothing can be done to stop him. That's the way it stands now. Instead of getting better, they delayed it, and now it's gotten worse. In addition, the so-called religious exemptions are weak and will be easily ignored or removed, leaving the churches very vulnerable to requirements to hire homosexuals and open up our restrooms also. The mayor finally admitted on record that this was never about racial discrimination, but rather, and she says, quote, "It is my life that is being discussed," end of quote. In other words, she is a lesbian, and this is all about her trying to have that accepted. Or rather, her lesbian lifestyle. What we proved repeatedly, and now the mayor acknowledges, is that this ordinance is only about giving special rights to homosexuals, lesbians, bisexuals, and those confused about their gender over the rights of more than 90% of the rest of the people. And I would say it's probably more than that, a higher percentage. The mayor declared this ordinance an emergency measure, although there is no evidence of real discrimination. We are declaring an emergency to rise up and stop this now before our city government is used to coerce criminals and punish the people for following God rather than bowing to the Baal of this sexual diversity agenda. I thought he put that well. This is another flyer that was given to me. Stand for our women and children. This is community rally, Sunday, May 18th, 2014. Now that's today. There's going to be a rally at the Grace Community Church, 14505 Gulf Freeway, Houston. Have any of you ever seen that church? It is huge. You could put the whole complex here in just their auditorium. But anyway, I've been there before, and it's off the Gulf Freeway. He goes on to say, Houston City Council will vote May 28th. That's when the vote has been delayed to. On Mayor Parker's ordinance opening ladies' restrooms to men. It threatens business with the crime for doing business according to their faith and establishes sexual lifestyle as a protected class equal to race and religion. Will you join pastors and concerned citizens from around the city to show our city leadership we care? Pastors, we need you and your flock to be there. So that is today, and it's going to start at 6 p.m. Pastors should arrive by 5:30. Now, I don't know if you're going. That's quite a ways for us. It's probably at least an hour and a half, hour and 45-minute drive one way. But I think that I have this information. Did that go out on the... I didn't have that. Okay, well, you better write down the 14505 Gulf Freeway, Houston, 6 o'clock if you plan to attend. This, did y'all all get that? Y'all need this? Got it? Okay. This is a website that I gave you before. I'm giving it to you again. TXVALUESACTION.org. That's TXValuesAction.org. You go to that site and there'll be a box there that shows take action with regards to this ordinance. And when you click that, there is a format there that you of protesting this and saying you are against this ordinance. And when you click, you put your name in, and when you click to send it, it goes to all the councilmen as the mayor as well. And there's close to 20 councilmen. You can do it all in one click once you follow the directions. And I don't have it right now, but I'll have it after church. I have a handout that I gave you before that has all... there it is. It's already down there. That has all of the... all of the councilmen and the mayor's phone number, email address, and everything down here if you want to reach it. Okay, well, I hate to take that much time to address this, but it's on the line right now. And if this does pass, at least you won't be regretting that you didn't do something about it. This is our chance to exert pressure on our leaders so that they will do the right thing. Of course, some of them aren't interested in doing the right thing. They're only interested in promoting a perverted ordinance. But at least we can do all that we can do and not regret not doing something. So I hope you all will exert whatever energies you can in doing this. Some of you have already written some letters to the mayor. And they are phenomenal letters. I might get them and put them on the bulletin board or ask the people who wrote them if they mind sharing them with you. People are engaged. I hope you will do as well. Okay, now we're going to change gears again. And we are going to start the Star series again. We're going to start where we left off. It's been at least 2 weeks. A lot of water has gone under the bridge from the time that we were here last. If you'll kill the lights here, George. Okay. Is it up there? No. Okay. Anybody remember what constellation we're on? Gemini! All right. That's encouraging you remember. Okay, this is a visual of Gemini. And here's the ecliptic, the zodiac. Here you have the twins. This shows a king or a ruler with a branch in his hand. This shows a person, a warrior, with a sword in his hand. And that's we've gone over Gemini to some extent. We've also gone over Lepus, which is not a rabbit. It is a snake. You can tell by we went over that in detail. And we're going to continue this morning with the last part of Lepus. And then we're going to go on to Canis Major and Canis Minor. Now, you'll notice that this is a king sitting in on a throne. It is not a dog. This is looks like the same warrior that's over here. And it's not a dog. But they have been called the dog stars. But we will put that to rest this morning. So let's start here. Just a quick review. There's Gemini. That's what it looks like. We have connected the dots. It's like two people, two stick figures, one here and one here. That's what we're looking at. There's Gemini. We've already gone through this. These are the names of the star. The two most prominent stars are Castor here and Pollux here. Castor means ruler or judge. Pollux means who comes to labor. Sometimes this is defined Pollux as the Redeemer or the Savior. Now we're going to one of the three deacons, which is Lepus. And we've already looked at Lepus. Arnebo is the enemy of him who comes. That's that star name. We've also looked at Nibal, the mad. What does that remind you of when you hear the term Nibal? Nabal, maybe? Remember? Y'all remember who Nabal was? Nabal was a madman. And that's what his name was Abigail, he was married to Abigail, and she told David, his name is who he is. His name was crazy, mad, insane, foolish. That's all that's what it means. And he says, and that's exactly what he is. And she stood between her mad husband and David from killing him. Phenomenal story. A phenomenal account. That's what reminds me of Nabal, or Nabal. There it is. Nabal means the mad, disgraceful, and foolish. Now, God has already dealt with disobedience of Israel. You see, in this, it's depicting Israel as a nation, as Nabal, or mad, or foolish. Remember, we ended last time reading Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1 through 20. Do y'all remember that? No? Okay. Do y'all remember that? Y'all don't know what to do. Raise your hand if you remember that. Okay, that's better. All right. I got to have a little feedback when I say, do you remember that? I thought it was a phenomenal passage, didn't y'all? Remember, I was comparing it to our situation today? If you weren't here, just make a mental note of that or jot that location down. Jeremiah 7, 1 through 20. Phenomenal passage. Now, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33 shows that the Lord is going to chastise Israel in the tribulation. Ezekiel 20:33, as I live, declares the Lord, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. Jesus Christ is not going to be king because Israel wants him to be king. They're too foolish because they have rejected him as Messiah to receive him as king. But he will be king over him because over them because he's in charge. Now we go to the last star here is Sassan. See this? S-A-S-S-I-N. It's right here in the tail of the serpent. Sassan. Sassan means the deceiver. How many know that that is another title for Satan? Sassan. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Now, when is the first time that Satan started his dastardly deception? Somebody said, in heaven. He started even before he got to earth, because what did he do? He rebelled against God, and then he deceived one-third of the angels to join him in his conspiracy. People think conspiracy theories, all those, don't believe in those conspiracies. Well, there's been a conspiracy even before there was man. Satan was very much involved in deceiving one-third of the angels to join his nefarious deeds. So it started then, and of course we all think of how Satan, the serpent, also deceived Eve in the garden. So it goes back even before the garden. All the way back, he has been the deceiver. Now the next verse that I'm going to throw up on the board shows you at the end of human history, we'll still see Satan up to his no good works, his deception. Here it is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 9. Now this is at the end of the millennium. 1,000 years have passed. Jesus Christ has been on earth ruling from the capital city of the world in Jerusalem. You and I, hopefully many others, will be ruling with him. There will be perfect environment. There will be perfect justice. And yet at the end of the 1,000 years, there are going to be so many people who are going to be deceived by Satan and join his rebellion and revolution that they describe them as the sand on the sea. How much sand is on the sea? If you took each little grain of sand on all the seashores, that's how many people it's talking about. Now that may be hyperbole, might be somewhat of an exaggeration, but it's talking about a huge number of people. even with Christ on the throne, on earth, believers in resurrection bodies who are helping Christ reign on earth, perfect environment, all of that, and still people are going to use their volition to go against the Almighty. Here it is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from prison. See, this whole 1,000 years, he's been locked up. He hadn't been able to deceive anybody. Now, what does that tell you? Think about that. These multitudes of people, when Satan comes out and he starts telling lies, how long is it going to take them to believe him? Instantly, right away. And people are so prone to be misled and believe the lie. And so when he is let out of his prison, he's going to foment a rebellion, and people are on board, they're ready to go, they're chomping at the bit. So when the 1,000 years were completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. That means all the nations throughout the earth. None of them are going to be left out. He's going to deceive them all. And he's going to gather them to Gog and Magog, four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. What is that talking about? Jerusalem. Do you see this is repeating itself? This is what's going to happen during the tribulation as well. It looks like the forces of evil, they have surrounded Jerusalem and they're about to make the kill. They're about to make the coup de grace. And yet what's going to happen? The cavalry comes in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come to Bozra, which is over there, close to the caves. What is that called again? Petra? Many believers are going to be hiding in Petra. He's going to go there and he's going to take care of the enemy forces there. And then he's going to go to Jerusalem. And I think that's what is described in Revelation chapter 20 when it's describing that he has blood all over his vesture. He's already annihilated a lot of the enemy. And then he's going to go to Jerusalem, who will be surrounded at the end point of the tribulation. And then he's going to take care of business then as well. He's going to eliminate all these enemies. But now we have the millennium, 1,000 years later, and the same thing is happening. Do you see it? The old sin nature does not change. The propensity to believe lie does not change. So, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. That's all Christ has to do. He has to speak. All he has to do is speak. Fire comes down and they're toast. Now, before we move on, I want to think about this deception for a moment. Most of the people on this planet are in deep, deep deception. They have bought Satan's lie. And it sounds rational. Listen, this is the biggest lie, the most prominent lie. If you're good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. Sounds logical, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that what it is when you're raising children? Now, Johnny, if you're a good boy, you get a cookie. But if you're a bad boy, well, it used to be, then I'm going to tan your hide. And Johnny knew what that meant. Today, it's time out. Or it might be, I don't know what it is. There is no consequence. But anyway, that's the way it used to be. I'll stick with that. So you are reared thinking, if I'm good, I get the good thing. If I'm bad, I get the bad thing. But is that what the Bible says? No, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one good man, not one righteous man, not even one. That's what the Bible says. That means there is not one who is good enough to be accepted by God on his own merit, by his own work. That's what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says that salvation is a gift. That's the only way that God can give it. Because were He to give it based on your merits, then He would compromise His perfect justice and His perfect righteousness, and He will never do that.
So most people that you come in contact with have bought the lie. Now, I know there's a zillion different denominations and different religions and so forth. And even within the denominations, there's differences with regards to eschatology and pneumatology and hermardiology. Within that, there's... But I'm just sticking with the main thing now. And the main thing is, where are you going to spend eternity? We're talking about the gospel. And there are very few, even believers, true Christians, who get the gospel right. A lot of them say, well, you just need to come to Jesus. Where is He? I'll go. Where is He? What does that mean? Invite Christ into your heart. Really? That's not what Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 through 19 says. It says Christ is knocking on the door, but not to come in to save you, but to come in to kick your behind if you don't rebound. That's what that verse is all about, clearly about discipline. So there, the deception is rampant today in this world, as it always has been. And just as there were a third of the angels, and I don't know what that number might be, a third of the angels might be, I don't know, 400 trillion? I'd have no idea. But it is a huge number. So even before the earth was created, before man was created, angels were already being deceived by the great deceiver, Satan. And they continue to be and have all this time. So the great enemy is not those people who are the Hell's Angel, rebellious, antinomian type. It's the nice people who have bought the lie. And they think that you have to work and you have to be good in order to get to heaven. And that is a slap in the face to our God to even presume that. It would be to say that Jesus Christ's trip to the cross was unnecessary. How blasphemous can that be? So I just want to throw a few things out here with this star, assassin, with regards to the deceiver. For tribulational believers, the second advent will be a joyous occasion. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about when I say the tribulation, right? There will be a day in the future, maybe not the too distant future, where all of us believers are going to be gone. In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, we're gone home to be with Jesus Christ. And that's going to leave nothing but unbelievers left on this earth. Antichrist is going to ascend to world prominence. And then the worst time that has ever been or ever will start to take place. And we call that the tribulation. And that's going to last 7 years. And towards the end of that tribulational period, there are going to be saints. There are going to be believers who have survived, but just barely. We can't even begin to comprehend how hard and how bad it's going to be. So when Jesus Christ comes out of heaven with His army of angels and all of His church-age believers with Him out of heaven to come to reclaim planet Earth, when that happens, what do you think these believers who have barely survived the worst time that has ever been, what are they going to do? They are going to be rejoicing. They are going to be deliriously happy and joyous. That's what we're talking about here. And here's the verse. It's in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day... Won't y'all turn to that in your Bibles? Y'all can see it good enough. There's enough light in here, I think. If you need to... Well, the side lights are on, aren't they? If you need the overhead lights on in the middle, let me know. I'll have them on. You need them on? Go ahead. Okay. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold the day. And the day that is referring that to there is the second advent. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. All those wicked, malevolent, horrible people who are going to be abusing Christians and Jews. Well, there won't be Christians. let me put it this way, those people during the tribulation who are going to be persecuting Jews and others who are on the earth that are believers are going to get their upcomings. And that's what this verse is about. For behold, the day, the second advent, when Christ returns to set up his millennial kingdom, is coming. It's a warning. It is on its way. Burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. You know, you all know what chaff is? When they used to have grain, wheat, they would have all the little grain particles, whatever. What do you call those things? Grain seeds or whatever. And they would beat the grain and all the seeds. What is that, Pete? What do you call it? Thrashing. But what are the part that comes off? The kernels? The husks? Anyway, they take the wheat and they beat it on a sheet. And all the good part comes out on the ground, on the sheet. And then they would take, and there would be four people, one on each corner of a sheet. And they would take it and throw it up. And that all would go up in the air. And all the chaff, this would be the little twigs, the little leaves, and a little part that you don't want in there, is blown away. That's what chaff is. And of course, it's very combustible. It burns real easy. And see, chaff is useless. You don't want it. It's the kernels of wheat that you can use, that we eat and make bread and all the other. But you want all this chaff, all this trashy stuff out. And that's how they would do it. They would throw it up in the air, and the kernels are heavier than the chaff. So the chaff would blow away, and the kernels will flow back to the sheet. So you'd have it. And it's useless. It's combustible. That's what it's talking about. So all the arrogant and evil doer will be like chaff, and the day is coming that will set them ablaze. In other words, you get the idea, all this chaff is gathered up and they're going to be burned. By the way, this is referred to as the baptism of fire in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Baptism means to be identified with, and all unbelievers, when Christ returns at the second advent, are going to be identified with fire. They're going to be consumed with fire, and their soul will go down into a place called torments in Sheol or Hades, and there they will wait for the great white throne, which they are not, at this point, they're not going to have a long wait. It's nearly over by then. So, and the day is coming when coming will set them ablaze, baptism of fire, Matthew 3:13. Now write that in your verse there, write that place so you can identify that. Otherwise, when you go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and you have Christ telling John the Baptist that there's going to be, that there, in a future time, they're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire. That means nothing unless you can connect these dots and know this is the time it's talking about. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, baptism of fire, says the Lord of hosts, Lord of the armies. So that it will leave them neither root nor branch. What does it mean, neither root nor branch? If you don't have the branch and you still have the root, then they can still propagate. But if you take away the root and the branch, what's left? Nada. Nothing left. And there will be no unbelievers left on planet Earth at that time. Verse 2, but you will fear my name. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. I like that, the Son of Righteousness. That's a play on word. Even in the English, you have S-U-N. That there will be a Son of Righteousness that will rise with healing in its wings. But it's really not talking about the S-U-N. It's talking about the capital S-O-N, isn't it? You see the play on word there? The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Now, city folk don't appreciate this. They just don't understand. If you've ever seen a calf, you know, little creatures are just, they're hard not to fall in love with, aren't they? Carrie and I have 8 new little chicks, and they're still little bitty. And we go out and we watch the chicks, and even the cats like them. I don't mean for dinner. They know better. And we have a little chicken wire around them. And the cats will sit there and just watch them for hours. And they're just cute. They're very tame. They fly up on Carrie's shoulder and all this stuff. Anyhow, if you ever seen a baby deer or a baby calf, a baby goat, even baby... Let me tell you, Carrie and I used to raise Old English sheepdogs. You know what they look like. You know, they got the hair all down in their eyes. When they're born, they look like little panda bears. Cute is not the word, does not cover it. This is before the Internet. We couldn't put them on the Internet when we used to raise them. So we would drive to Houston. We would make appointments and drive to Houston for people to buy them. And we knew that if we could make an appointment, that's a dog sold. Because when they came in, they saw these cute little panda bears. That was it. So we're talking about something that is, this is a beautiful sight. These are the people who have suffered tremendously during the tribulation. Now our Lord has come and to save them and set up His millennial kingdom. And they skip about like calves from the stall. Beautiful imagery there. Then it says, "You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts." So what is the Lord doing now? Well, one of the things that He is doing is preparing for that day. You remember during the Iraqi war, they had all these bombs going off and they called it shock and awe? You remember that? That is a tea party, a little girls' tea party out in the backyard compared to what Jesus Christ is going to do when He returns, second advent, and takes care of business here on earth. There will be no negotiation. Satan will be off. He will be locked up. And every one of His enemies will be killed, and their soul will be in torments waiting for the great white throne. Does that make you, aren't you glad that you have a Lord that is omnipotent that can do that? That will do that, that promises that He will do that, and we will be there to see it. How can people be bored? I have no idea. I think ignorance and boredom go together. Ignorance and boredom go together, and self-assumption and boredom go together as well. See, when you're thinking about other people, you're not thinking about yourself, and that's where the real joy in life is. Hello? Okay. I don't remember where I am now. Oh, yeah, I remember now. I got to shift gears. That was the last star on... That was the last star on... Here we are. Yeah, I'm on the same place here. All right, now what we did, we finished Lepus. So far we saw Gemini and the twins, and we went to Lepus, which was the snake. And now we're looking at Canis Major. Canis Major. Canis Major is the coming Prince of Glory. This constellation has nearly lost meaning over time because today it's known as the Great Dog. That's why it's major. It's referred to as the dog. The Greeks thought that Orion had a pair of hunting dogs, and this was one of them. This is where the idea of dogs came across. But we're going to see again that that does not match the star names, nor is it the right name for this constellation. The three stars in Orion's belt point to the so-called dog star, which is Sirius. I like to say that Sirius is a serious star. Here it is right here. See it? This is in Canis Major. Sirius is the brightest star in all the heavens, north or southern hemisphere. It is the brightest star. And it's in Canis Major. It's only 9 light years from Earth. That's close. Well, relatively close, let me say. Remember that Gemini showed Christ in the dual role of both Prince and Savior. Remember the two? One stick figure was a prince or king. The other one was a redeemer or savior. He is coming ruler as well as coming redeemer. He was the coming redeemer. He's already redeemed us, and he's coming as the coming prince or king. Canis Major represents Christ as the Prince of Glory. In other words, we're comparing this constellation with the stick figure that represents Jesus Christ as King and His glory. That's what Canis Major is about. An old Persian planisphere pictured the constellation as a wolf and could be the reason that the Greeks got the idea of a dog. But when the names of the stars are considered, all doubts are quickly removed about any canines and its intended meaning becomes clear. Sirius, the name the star Sirius, was probably the name of Canis Major as well. They probably meant that at one time. Sirius means the prince. That's what that star means, the prince. The ancient root was Sur, S-U-R, which became Sar in the Hebrews, S-A-R. It was used by the prophet Isaiah when speaking of Messiah, when he says, the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. And that word for prince in the Hebrew is S-A-R, which is a form of S-U-R, which we get the name Sirius. The name in the feminine is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, which means princess. This was the second name of Abraham's wife in Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. Her first name was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I. Anybody know what that star name means? Contentious. So she was Sarai, and I would say that she was very much Sarai when she talked her husband Abram into cohabiting with their handmaiden Hagar. This is contentious. This is conniving. And Abraham, I don't know, I think it might not have been that hard to talk him into it. But it did have massive repercussions. Because that, of course, produced Ishmael, which is the father of the Arabs. And, of course, then they had Isaac, which was the one that the Lord had promised, which is the father of the, Abraham is the father of the Jewish race, but at least Isaac is in that line. Sar also is the root of the Egyptian word, of the English word, sir. So when we address someone as sir, it is a reference to respect. You say, sir, would you like a drink of water? Sir, it's, and I guess even in England, if you were part of a knighthood, then they would call you Sir Galahad or Sir Lancelot. Or Sir Elton John, it's kind of went south. But anyway, it all has the idea of prominence, of aristocrat, of an aristocrat, and of someone who has prominence. Sirius was probably the name of Canis Major in ancient times. So Canis Major is associated with the twin Castor, the coming ruler of Gemini. Here's some more. Well, I had it all here. Oh, no, I hadn't got to this yet, but I got to it now, didn't I? Now, this is late in the hour for me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do y'all need to do anything to shake the cobwebs out yet? Because you're going to have to think on this. Okay, follow me now. The English name for Canis Major, the Egyptian name for Canis Major was Naz, N-A-Z, and it meant coming swiftly. The Hebrew name for the star Sirius was Seir, S-E-I-R, meaning prince. Now, it's possible that the word Netzer, here's Netzer, found in Isaiah 11:1, could be a combination of the Egyptian word Naz, N-A-Z, swiftly coming, and the Hebrew word Seir, meaning prince, which would equal Netzer, N-A-Z-E-I-R, are netzer, N-E-T-Z-E-R. See, you, if you, when you say these two words, this is pronounced netzer. This is pronounced netzer. You see how close they are? So, here I'm putting it together. So, the swiftly coming prince, which is the Naz, or Net, Naz, plus Seer, prince, equals, or that is the Nazir branch, which is what is how it is translated in Isaiah 11:1. Here's Isaiah 11:1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Who is Jesse? David's father. And so from the line of Jesse, from this root, a branch, Netzer, from his roots will bear fruit. Who is the branch? Jesus Christ is the branch. And would bear fruit is a gross understatement. This is talking about Christ, who would come from the line of Jesse, would be the branch. Remember, we looked at the branch many times. It's shown in the stars. On Palm Sunday, when Christ came into Jerusalem, what were they doing? They were taking branches, palm branches, and putting in His way. Identifying Him with the Messiah, with the one in charge, the authority. This is the branch. And all I'm saying, what I'm trying to have you understand, is Netzer, translated branch, could come from these two words, which essentially would be saying, and the ones, the prince swiftly coming, the branch, would be the same thing. Now I see all the wrinkles on your forehead, so I'm going to give another shot. I don't want to go to that right now. I'll go to this one. No, where is it? I'm going to go past this too, because, well, I thought I had something right there. It's at the end. And I'm at... I'll just read this. I would like to jump ahead and show you a visual representation of what I just gave you here. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? When you combine these two parts of this word, it means swiftly coming prince, which is translated the branch in Isaiah 11:1. I think that's just phenomenal. Because the branch, Jesus Christ, is the prince, and He is swiftly coming. That's my point. Zechariah 3:8. Now listen, Joshua, the high priest, this isn't the Joshua in the book of Joshua, this is the high priest. You and your friends who are sitting in front of you, indeed, they are the men who are assembled, for behold, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. So here you have Christ as the servant, and the other one, this one, talks about Jesse being a, or the stem of Jesse being the branch. That's talking about his rulership. This is talking about his being a servant. You understand what I'm saying? One is talking about Christ being a prince, swiftly coming. This one is talking about a servant. And both are linked to the what? Branch, which is Jesus Christ. That's the point. Here are some other star names in Sirius. You have over here, Wezeh, W-E-Z-E-A, means the bright and shining. What's one of the accolades for Jesus Christ? He's called the bright and morning star, right? Here is Aldura, A-L-U, what? Aludra, A-L-U-D-R-A, and it means the prince of the right hand. I'll get to that in a moment. And this is Adara, A-D-A-R-A, the glorious. You see all these names, prince, ruler, glorious, bright and shining. This is Christ coming in His glory, second advent. But look at this, Aldur. The name of this is the prince of the right hand. Oh, wow, let's put some pieces together here. You see this right here? Right hand? Here is the figure on the right hand that Sirius and Canis Major is depicting. This is the figure on the right hand. We're going to have one on the left hand as well. The figure on the right hand, king, ruler, or judge. And on the left hand, you have Pollux, which is the Savior who comes for to labor. This is the Redeemer. This one has already taken place. This is when Christ came first advent and redeemed us. This is the second advent on the right hand when he's coming back in glory and great majesty. Are y'all beginning to see what's coming together? I don't know what I have next year. Let's see. Canis Major. Minor. Okay, well, I think we better stop here. Canis Minor. Let me just ask you this. If Canis Major has a star in it that says has to do with the right hand because it is related to the caster, which is the side, the stick figure on the right, that is the king and everything. Now we go to Canis Major. What do you think it's depicting? The one on the left hand. Would you suspect that there might be a star in this one that's called, talking about the star of the left hand? Well, we'll see. We'll see next time. Okay, George, you bring up the lights. Don't forget, this Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'll be on the Dr. Jim show, hosting it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And let's see, don't forget to be engaged in this issue over this ordinance because it affects us all. And the more that we speak out, the more there's a chance that they might even listen to reality. I'd like everyone, please bow your head and close your eyes. We've been talking about the gospel throughout this. If you're online and you haven't heard the good news, the great news is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He went to the cross and paid for your sins. He died, was buried, and resurrected, and now offers eternal life to anyone who will trust Him and Him alone for it. And in a moment of time, it could be this very moment, when you decide to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ and His work rather than your own works, it's in that moment of time that you are born again. You become a child of God. You are permanently in Christ. Your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. And now it's time to get cracking and grow in grace and knowledge. Now, Father, we're so thankful for this time you've given us to focus upon your phenomenal message in the stars as well as the one in your Word. Pray that you'll help us to focus on these things and apply them to our circumstances, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.